friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I'm anxious to link with Áine Fey, who is president of Concern Worldwide USA. Anxious because actually, first of all, you're very welcome, Áine.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
You are leaving on yet another mission by tomorrow morning with yet another crisis in Haiti. First of all, maybe you'd tell us what is the immediate crisis and how did that come about?
On Wednesday, the 13th of July, Haiti is in the middle of its hurricane season, which runs from about June to November. And on June the 13th, on July the 13th, pardon me, the capital, Port-au-Prince, was just absolutely devastated by rain that caused severe floods. Where the crisis is greatest, really, is in one of the slum areas of Port-au-Prince, a place called City Soleil. It's marked by overcrowding, by extreme poverty, by the lack of access to safe drinking water and basic services. And the rains hit and the drains overflowed and dirty water flooding into the houses. And about 6,000 families have been really severely affected by this. And the main danger at the moment, of course, is disease with overflowing drains, latrines that are now floating, toilets that are floating, and the danger, of course, of malaria.
Hearing about areas of devastation is obviously it's not new to us. When we hear about Haiti again, we still, it's still very vivid in our memories and, in our minds, the horrific pictures that we have seen with the earthquake and whatever. Can I ask you just to, reflect on that? What has happened since the earthquake, and to what degree has life normalized, if you can even call it that, but by Haiti standards?
Yes, indeed. And I mean, the devastation of the 2010 earthquake, I mean, it hit all of our headlines, and I did work in Haiti immediately after the earthquake. I mean, a huge amount of work has occurred, and I know there's been, on and off, there's been some negative press about what has really happened. But I mean, I can tell you firsthand that an enormous number of people have been rehoused. And they've moved out of the slums where they poured into after the earthquake, looking for any form of flat land where they
yes.
could cast a tent. And so a lot of them, a lot of people, now there are still people living in slum areas that went there after the earthquake. I mean, the process of rehousing is still going on. But the numbers have reduced considerably.
Yeah.
The area where the floods have happened this time is also an area that was severely affected by the earthquake. I mean, it is on very, very, coming to me, but it's built on very precarious land.
Yes.
You know, and it's really a slum that's built on a swampy area.
Let me just ask a question that I'm sure many would feel like asking, because it's always much easier to ask why don't they rather than, well, find out the reason first before you ask them. Like, why don't they move from slum areas? Why don't they, why are they still around in areas that are subject to, devastation and floods and unsanitary conditions? I know the answer, and you know the answer to that one, but isn't it fairly natural for us to say, well, you know, why don't the other they, like the concerns, like the governments, like those who are taking care of their needs, why don't they move them? Again, I'm just, you know, I'm voicing out loud what we are inclined to think because of the enormity of this loss.
Indeed. Indeed. And it's a reasonable question, you know, and I suppose if you think of it in terms of really the poverty, and it is really the most poverty-stricken people that stay in these slums. And quite often they stay in them, Adrian, because of economic conditions. If they move further out into areas where the rent may still be cheap, they will have no access to work.
Yes.
So they stay within the city so that they can at least have access to the informal sector for work at a rent that they can actually afford.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a major issue, and it's a major issue in slums throughout the world, really.
And you would know because for a Limerick girl who only signed up initially for 2 years with concern, somehow you lost your way back home, and you got the bug, so to speak, and excuse the pun there. But you did, like many others in who have been with concern, initially you don't think of it in terms of a lifetime commitment, a lifetime career. And of course, you had worked a lot of that time with, you know, with the Finucane brothers, with Father Angus and Jack. Can you just give us like a rough idea of when it dawned on you that actually this was going to where you were going to spend the rest of your life? 2 years is up, you're ready to, you fulfilled your commitment. What went through your head at that point?
To get home and get back to my job in Limerick. And, you know, I was just about to leave. I did my 2 years volunteering in Bangladesh, working with Jack Finucane, the father Jack.
Yes.
And I was just about to leave. I was getting ready to go back to Limerick, where I did have leave of absence from my job.
Mm-hmm.
When Angus Finucane, Father Angus, came to visit, and the 1984 famine in Ethiopia hit the headlines. And he essentially told me that it was my duty to stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Angus, both brothers, in fact, but they were really inspiring, you know, and... So I don't think at that moment that I still saw it as a long-term career, but I certainly, I signed up for another 2 years, and another 2 years became four, and it continued, you know, and I love the work Concern does on the ground, you know. It does. Every time I go overseas, it inspires me.
Yeah.
I know that I've chosen the right path.
Yes. Now, you were country director in Pakistan, where you oversaw $40 million dollars in programming, including Concern's rapid portfolio. That was a $29 million emergency response fund. And that was actually channeled to the international NGOs.
Uh-huh.
What kind of impact does that have you when you wake and say, "My God, this is me." You know, the buck stops with me. What kind of pressure does that bring on? What is your reaction when you find yourself in that position? You know.
I suppose, you know, from time to time, it obviously does get stressful, and it does, you know, when you're talking money of that magnitude, you know. But what I have to say about Concern is that we have very, very strong teams in place, you know, to ensure that the stress is shared. It doesn't say that it's gone away altogether. And to ensure that our systems are correct, you know, that we can say with confidence the money is being spent in the right way, in the right places. And we work very much with with partners, you know, with local NGOs who really have the same ethos as ourselves, but maybe don't have the same level of capacity. So they're a younger organization and just need to be helped along the way.
You know, sometimes when we see, particularly in the New York area, where we see several organizations, not just Concern, but Goal and several others, there might be a sense that there is a competition. And in fact, you know, among the NGOs themselves and their fundraising and all the rest of it, and as somebody who, you know, is up close to all of it, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes.
And indeed, there are many who would say that when it comes to, you know, pictures and live television reports from the particularly in the emergency areas of devastation, you don't have to look too hard to see the Concern logo. But again, I'm delighted that you have actually pointed out that there is no competition. And as a matter of fact, you know, we're maybe parochial in thinking of the Irish NGOs. There, in fact, Ireland has every reason to be, you know, very proud of the not only the number of organizations, but the people of Ireland and the Irish diaspora, who are really very supportive of the organizations. But you do need to link up with, you're not an autonomy, you do link up with many others who are in the area. So it does show the kind of cooperation and strength that is needed in areas of
crisis. And that you have to have.
Yes.
And that you have to have, really, to be successful. I mean, you have to ensure that you're not duplicating efforts, particularly when the needs are so enormous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do, you know, despite the fact that people think there is competition, we do speak to one another on the ground. We do coordinate our work.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, every time I'm overseas, I am so proud to be Irish because of the support of a small country and our massive diaspora who can be found in every corner of the world, you know, and the support we get from them. You know, we wouldn't be able to do the work we do without it.
Is there somewhere in the psyche of people like yourself and those who have devoted their lives to Concern, is there a time when it looks like, you know, well, things are actually improving and maybe next year we won't have as much of a dismal outlook as what occurred this year? Does that play into it? Because it would appear from the outside that in terms of you're doing your job, your job is never going to be done because all of these emergencies will continue to happen, and there's nothing, whether those are you know, natural disasters or are subject to wars and unrest and all of the political factors throughout, you know, particularly areas, you know, throughout Ethiopia and Uganda, South Sudan, Afghanistan, and Haiti. Does it look at a time when you say, you know, we have made such progress in this area here, we can actually move on?
You know, Concern is an organization in the last 7 or 8 years, we have actually moved out of countries where we felt that actually the government and the people have made so much progress that there is less need for us.
Yeah.
You know, and so, again, there's hope. But at the same time, there always seems to be a new country coming off the block. And South Sudan, I suppose, is the very sad example of that at the moment, the newest country in the world going through really horrendous times at the moment. But, you know, we've moved out of Cambodia and Laos in Asia. We've just this year parted from Tanzania. You know, countries that really are doing well economically.
Yeah.
And able to cope with a lot of the stresses that occur in terms of natural disasters.
Yes. Jack Hare, who is CEO, and of course our very good friend Tom Moran, who's the chairman of Mutual of America and indeed chairman of Concern USA, to have their influence, and that's in no way taking away from your own responsibility as as president of Concern Worldwide USA. I do want to to point out that sometimes we, our listeners, and many people in in the communities at community level, including the Irish communities, look at the work of Concern in awe, in admiration, but also with, sometimes with despair in saying, what can we, what would our contribution really do? I mean, overnight, now in new crisis, 6,000 more families, living in swamps and contaminated water and waste and all of this, struggling. Like, what is our contribution? How much would we have to contribute to actually make a difference?
You know, Adrian, what I would say there is that every little helps, okay? And I know people say that all of the time. But, I mean, for the situation in Haiti at the moment, the little help that people give in regular small donations to us actually allows us to respond immediately.
Yeah.
We were able to get $10,000 together, which is a drop in the ocean in terms of the overall needs of the country. But what it did allow us to do was to help the communities to start to clear the drains. It allowed us just to buy blankets and plastic sheeting so that they could stay dry. I really do say to people that we're so appreciative of those regular small donations, because it does give us the ability to respond quickly.
Well, something new which caught our eye in the last week, 10 days, was an announcement that Haiti again had yet another crisis. And, that as usual, Concern was there as quickly as possible to be on the ground. And for the first time that I remember, anyway, the figure of $10,000 was broken down to a plea for, a donation of $30. That we can relate to.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you get that message out, a lot of $30 donations must have come in, because in a matter of days, not only did you collect, the $10,000, but you were able to do something with it right then and there. So, again, there's the big picture, but there's also something, and I was very impressed and will be, to know that if $30, which most of us can afford, if that can do something. It's easy when you look at $10,000 and you say, okay, $30, okay, so if enough of us should be able to come up with that one. But that does kind of put into a vision and an image that $30 will actually go a long way if enough of us respond. And I think that's what our message should be.
Absolutely.
You're on your way in the morning. What in to you, what is the best way? I know that most people today will say, give us the website and we'll work the rest of it, you know, out ourselves. What is your view with respect to that?
I mean, it probably is the best way for people to do it. It's the way, you know, it's the way technology has taken us in many ways. People are looking for, you know, the quick way to do it. And we do have, you know, on our website, concernusa.org, we do have /the Haiti flood.
Yeah.
So if people click on that, the money then is assigned to Haiti.
I would even go further and say, for those who would like to know about the work of Concern, if you just log on to concernusa.org, you might get indeed hooked, as our guest did, Áine Fé, some 30 years ago. We congratulate you. Know that it must be hard in your case to plan even, you know, vacation or anything else in the course of a year, because you don't know when and where the next emergency will arise. But obviously, we are honored to be able to, you know, pass the word on your behalf and on behalf of Concern Worldwide onto our listeners. And we do know for a fact that many of them respond at whatever level. And to that end, I want to thank you for joining us and wish you, you know, a good trip to Haiti. It will be nothing new to you to face devastating conditions, because that's what you've been doing for decades.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you, Áine Fé, President, Concern Worldwide, USA. And again, friends, the website is concernusa.org. And you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.